For now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, where we're going to continue our study in this book, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read just two short verses. I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 5 and the first verse of chapter 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 26. And I'll be reading out of an NASB translation. I will also have the words up here on the screen. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these two verses. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter to the people in the churches at Galatia as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we continue to read your scriptures, Father, I pray that you continue to grow us as we learn more and more each and every Sunday about your word. So what is it that we need to learn today, Lord? Make us aware of that, and may we be able to use that somewhere down the road as we walk in victory with Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, we continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 42, and I've titled today's message, Restore Such a One, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in chapter 6, verse number 1. If today's message sounds a little familiar to you, it's because I will be using some material that I have used in a previous message that I spoke a few years back. I figure if something is useful, then it's worth repeating. Paul continues down this path of practical application for the believer. In chapter 5, verse 26, he brings to light three attitudes that a believer may have towards another believer. And those three attitudes are, they could be boastful, they could be challenging, and they could be envying. And let's look at all three of those, and let's look at an example of how they could be. First, a believer could be boastful, he says. And a believer could say something like this. Well, look at how obedient and spiritual that I am. It's all about me. Look at me. Look how good of a Christian I am. That would be a boastful attitude that a believer could have. Number two, this one is kind of similar to that, a challenging attitude, in that a believer could say something like this. Well, why aren't you as spiritual as I am? In other words, the believer is challenging the other person's beliefs, not only their belief system, but challenging their level of spiritual maturity. Hey, why aren't you as spiritual and obedient as I am? So those are two attitudes that they could have, and there's a lot of similarities between those. But then we have the third one, and this one is kind of the opposite. Envying. The believer could say something like this. Well, why am I not as obedient and spiritual as they are? In other words, they feel like they're inferior because this other person is putting on an air of superiority. Well, those are three attitudes that Paul says that believers could have, and he wants to make sure that we don't fall into these attitudes right here, which leads us to our first fill-in-the-blank. And our first fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin would say this. One thing about the human condition is that we sometimes love to compare ourselves to other believers. We love to compare ourselves to other believers. And if and when we ever get to thinking like this, that we want to compare ourselves, this is where Paul tells us that we need to apply the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit several weeks ago. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says we need to apply the fruit of the Spirit towards one another. And when we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, that places every believer on equal ground. Nobody is going to be above the next person. So we're going to look at Galatians 6:1, verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 6, in a few different ways, because it's kind of loaded with a lot of good truths we want to bring out. I'll put Galatians 6:1 back up here, and I'll read the whole verse this time. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Here in this verse right here, he begins, he begins here in chapter 6, verse number 1, on how to restore a sinning brother or sister in Christ. And in this verse, I have two words underlined, brethren and anyone, and they are going to be rather synonymous. In other words, he is saying, brethren, even if another brethren, even if a brother or sister in Christ is caught in a trespass. So this verse is referring to how one believer will respond and react to another believer. So if this is what we are supposed to do, what is the biblical process for restoring such a one who is caught in any trespass? Our next fill in the blank. We must know that the person in need of restoration identifies as a believer. I really did not want to use the word identifies, because in 21st century American society, it kind of has a bad connotation, but it still means the same thing. A person identifies as a believer. It's not what we might think that they are, it's what they say they are. They say, I am a believer. And I say this because there are different paths that we would take depending on if that person says that they are a believer or not a believer. So we'll spend the rest of our message time here this morning assuming that they say that they identify as a believer. So let's go back to Galatians 6:1 and let's underline a few different words. And this time I'm going to underline, is caught in any trespass. According to this text that Paul writes, this example, this brother or sister is guilty of a trespass. It's not alleged, and it's not gossip. It's a fact. They are caught in a trespass, even if anyone is caught in any trespass. So what's our next fill in the blank going to say in our process of restoring? Number 3, when restoring another believer, make sure the trespass accusation is true. This is pretty basic. We do not want to bring unreliable or false testimony against another believer. Would we want anybody to bring false testimony against us? No, we wouldn't want that. So we don't want to bring false testimony against another believer. So we need to make sure that whatever the accusation is, whatever that trespass is it true? We want to make sure of that. So let's put these two truths into practice. Let me give you a hypothetical situation. You know of a person who is practicing some sort of immoral or unethical lifestyle. This person claims that he or she is a believer. They identify as a believer. And you are 100% sure of their trespass. Now, let me just throw a few possible scenarios out there. There's going to be plenty of them. But let me throw a few possible ones out there. Perhaps they are deep into the LGBTQ movement or support such a movement. Perhaps they are living with a partner outside of a marital relationship. Perhaps they are using some unethical business practices like cooking the books or faking the numbers. Or perhaps they have fallen prey to an addiction and their recreational drugs have become their god, little g. And we know that this list can go on and on, and I just gave you four different possibilities. I must add, though, at this point, that if the believer is in a constant state of unrepentant sin, then we may be questioning if that person may be a believer or not. And that was a sermon I gave back on July the 18th. But for the sake of the rest of this message, they say they are, so we will treat them as such. So what is our course of action to a fellow believer, brother or sister in Christ, who is caught in a trespass? Well, if that offender professes that they are in Christ, they are a believer, then we must act. Someone must intervene, and that someone is either me or you. I'm going to put a statement up here. This is not from the Bible. This statement is from a man by the name of Edmund Burke. He was an 18th century Irish political philosopher, and he said this: all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Now, those words are not in the Bible, but they are, it's certainly a biblical principle, and that biblical principle we see right here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We must always do something. So let's get back to Galatians 6, 1 again, and let's underline some different words. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now that we know we must initiate a restoration process of some sort, what should our attitude be in doing so if we want to restore another believer? It's very clear. We restore in a spirit of gentleness. And gentleness, as we know, is one of the nine fruit of the Spirit. And we define gentleness as softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, and meekness. I think we all understand those qualities. If we know that we're going to restore a fellow believer in a spirit of gentleness, so what is our next fill in the blank? And it would be this: any restoring action from this point forward is not an act of condemnation towards the believer, but it's an act of love. It's an act of love. We're not condemning this person. We want to help this person. We love this person. And as my favorite pastor, John MacArthur, says, and I quote, "There is nothing more loving than the truth," end quote. And that is our goal, and that must be our attitude in which we approach a restoration situation. We do not hate the offender. We love that person. They are a brother or sister in Christ. They are part of the body of believers. Our hope is to see that person restored back into Christian fellowship and move beyond that trespass. Now, by this point, you might be saying this: well, Mike, that's only four mics. Mike, if we do this, it sounds like we are being judgmental. And doesn't Jesus tell us, do not judge? We are being judgmental. And the Christian has every right to confront and judge a brother or sister in Christ when they are caught in a trespass. Let's look at those scripture verses. And as we do so, we still need to be careful about a few things, and I'll point those out. Let's look at some scripture that supports this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin within the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Judgment begins in the household of God. We judge each other, it says right here. And this is from the Apostle Peter. And then we have the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. What Paul is saying is this, and it's a short little chapter, it's only 13 verses. We are to judge those inside the church. The same thing that Peter had said back in his epistle. And then we have the words of Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24. And he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says this, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So we have the Apostle Peter, we have the Apostle Paul, and we have Jesus all telling us that we are to judge. So if we have the biblical green light to judge, we must have this kind of mindset that we are allowed to do this. But let's make sure that we have the right mindset when we do judge our brother or sister who has been caught in a trespass. So let's look at our next fill in the blank, and it would say this. Our judgment of their trespass must be based on truth, and truth is found in God's word. Let me go to Hebrews, and I'll expound on that here in a second. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I like this verse. I use this one quite often. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Our judgment of their trespass cannot be based on my opinion. It cannot be based on your opinion, nor can it be based on anyone's opinion. Judgment must be based on truth, and truth is found right here in the Word of God. So we need to ask this question when executing this restoration process. Are the actions of this offending believer, their trespass, are their actions truly contrary to the Word of God? And this trespass cannot be what we have talked about before as a disputable matter, and that's in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. A disputable matter. Let me give you an example. Paul outlines those in Romans 14, and he says this. There are some things that to you might be a sin, but to me might not be a sin. They are disputable. And the example that I love to give is the example of me and my friend Paul, who many, many, many years ago, we were riding in the car together, and I turned on the radio, and I started listening to rock and roll music. And he said, Mike, how could you possibly listen to that stuff? Turn that off. Well, I turned it off, but it falls into that category of disputable matters. To him, it was sinful to listen to rock and roll music. To me, it doesn't make any difference one way or the other, if I listen to it or if I don't listen to it. But we need to make sure that the trespass that our brother or sister is going through is not a disputable matter, but one that is a true violation of the laws of God. Continuing on in our execution of restoration, we must judge ourselves before we judge someone else. Why? Because God does not want us to be hypocritical in our judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. These are the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Actually, this is Jesus talking about the restoration process. Same thing that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Yes, we are to take the speck out of our brother's eye. We are to bring that to their attention. But what are we to do first? First, take the log out of our eye first. Let's get ourselves right first before we approach the offending brother or sister. I need to make sure that I'm not guilty of the same sin that I'm accusing this brother or sister of. Okay, now we've listened to all this so far. Mike. That was only five mics. We're getting closer. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm up to doing this with a brother or sister in Christ who's going through a trespass. Let me ask this question to all of us. What are we more concerned about? Are we more concerned about our relationship and friendship with that person? Or are we more concerned about their spiritual well-being? You never know. Their eternity could be at stake, depending on the violation or their condition. Well, Mike, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to hurt their feelings, Mike. It's not about their feelings, and it's not about your feelings. It's about truth, and it's about obedience to the Word of God. And I know that sounds tough, but it's true. All right, another question. Mike. What if I do this and it doesn't work? What if I try this restoration process in gentleness and it doesn't work? What if they insist that their sinful ways and their sinful lifestyle is acceptable because God loves them just the way they are? There are other steps that are outlined by Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, concerning church discipline and how to handle a brother or sister caught in a trespass who refuses to be restored. And I'm not going to cover all these steps today, but I will tell you that the final step is to expel that unrepentant person from the church. And that gets pretty serious. But let's look at some verses that even back that up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Again, a little 13 verse chapter. This is Paul. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. Oh my goodness. When a person gets to the point where they refuse your loving and your gentle restoration, then it is time to get serious. Paul virtually says this: have nothing to do with them. He says, don't even eat with such a one. And you might look at that and say, hey, that's pretty intense. That's pretty intense. Yes. Yes, it is. And it's not popular today. And it has every impression of making the Christian look like a very cold-hearted person. And we never want our attempt at restoration to ever get to this extreme of casting them out of the church or not eating with such a one. This is extreme, and we don't want it to get that far. We would hope that our first encounter with them can bring them to a point of repentance. And that's why it needs to be nipped in the bud at the start. We want to restore a person quickly, yet gently, before it turns into a situation that could actually bring division within a church. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again, this time verse number 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? This verse is very self-explanatory. We take the steps of restoration because we must keep the church pure. What does he say? A little leaven works through the whole batch of dough. We do not want a fellow believer's trespass to become contagious with the person sitting next to them. And if we don't execute the restoration process, it will look as if the church and the church leadership approves and condones of their sinful actions. And we don't want that either. Getting back to Galatians 6:1, one final time. Whoops. There we go. I knew it was there somewhere. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Here we go. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We don't want to get caught up in their trespass. So what is our final fill in the blank? It says this. We must be on guard that we are not caught up in their trespass. Again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin can be contagious. If I am in the process of restoring a brother in Christ who is caught up in an adulterous affair, please don't introduce me to her good-looking sister. Amen? You know where I'm going with this. Don't get me caught up in your sin. But that's not for them to figure out. That's for me to prevent myself from going there. Restore such a one. It is what we are biblically commanded to do. And we execute this process biblically, and we execute it with gentleness. On the other side of that coin, every true Christian should welcome God's word testing them, convicting them, judging them. And it's all for the purpose, my friends, of refining and restoring us back to the body of believers. Our goal is to restore such a one. Let's pray.